Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Oh, we missed you so much. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Let's Go Ricky Roll podcast with Beto Duran. Oh, it's been a summer of where you been? And where have we been? Everywhere. I was looking. It's been since June that we've done a show. It's August. You know this, people. When you got kids in the summer, you're all over the place. Ricky is back from Canada. I'm back from the golf course. And Josh Tolley's still running around. We're going to catch up with Tolley probably in a couple weeks or something like that. But we want to do a show, first of all, to say thank you to you that continue to send a message on the Let's Go Ricky Roll Instagram page. Hey, when's the next show? When's the next show? Well, it's kind of hard to have a show when we're not around. Ricky, where you been? All of the month of July in Canada? How was that?
Yeah, man. First off, it's good to be back. It's been a while, right?
Yeah.
I had to look back too at our. I went to the podcast app this morning, and I was like, "When was the last time we did a show?" And it was with Tolley going back to New York and the whole no-hitter ceremony with Johan Santana. So it's been a while, but no, man. Sometimes the breaks are good, right? I mean, I've been busy as shit, man. Like doing so much. I thought I was gonna. So yeah, we did that show with Josh, and then. And then July, the month of July, I was in Toronto. I didn't get to golf as much as I thought I would. I took my golf bag, golf once in a golf part of a golf tournament, so it wasn't even like a real golf. And I was busy, but it was good busy. I did a lot of stuff with the on TV, a lot of Tim and Friends for the people in Canada that know that show. Fun show, always to be a part of. Me and Donovan Bennett, who's a good friend actually, he was the host twice and. Get good chemistry, and we talk shop, and that was fun. And then I did three games pre and post. That was fun too. I did the late when the Toronto Blue Jays came to Seattle. It was a bad series too, man. It was one of those where I believe they got swept, or maybe lost three or four. I don't remember, but the three games that I did, they lost. So maybe that's probably that why they haven't called back. but it was Yeah, for the people that don't know, especially on the West Coast, and you know this, Beto, sometimes those late night games, I was on the East Coast, so those games are starting at 10 p.m., and they weren't done till about 1:30, and you're sitting there just, one, for me, I've always said, for me, being able to dissect the game pre-game and post-game is always fun. I get to watch baseball and just kind of go off my experiences and what I see, and that's always fun. And so I did that. And yeah, once again, obviously being in Toronto is always fun. It's always a good time. And I love it there. And having home is even better. But yeah, man, I'm glad to be back. And obviously been busy with the MLB Network Radio on Sirius, on the Sirius channel. Dani Wexelman, been doing shows with her. She's awesome. We should have her on sometime soon. Yeah. Beto, I think she'd be awesome to talk to. And she's a baseball, like, freak. Like, she just loves the game. She's always doing something with baseball or softball, and awesome, just an awesome person. She's the host, and I'm her co-host on Sundays. And yeah, so I've been busy with that, and it's been busy time, man. Apparently now I'm an influencer too, as you saw, A&W and shit. Yeah, man, so doing a lot of things right now, and like I said, it's good busy, it's good good stuff. And as you know, I mean, anytime you're able to be part of stuff like that, Mr. 1099, I'm taking a page out of your book. I feel like I have a notebook now, and I'm a notebook now, and I'm writing stuff down of like the stuff I get paid, because I, you know, Uncle Sam will come looking for you if you don't do it right. So
they're gonna get you quick when you have all that good stuff. But yeah, there's just so many different angles. I'm glad you brought up the A&W part, because I've told you over the years, like, Rick, you gotta, you know, you're a famous guy. You're an athlete. You're there. Like, you should get some endorsements. You're like, nah, nobody's. Why would anybody this? Why would anybody that? And next thing I know, I look at your Instagram, and bam, you're an A&W sponsor partnership with them, which is pretty cool, though, because, look, you're a healthy guy. I'm not. But A&W root beer, like, there's one in, when you go to Big Bear here in Southern California, there's an A&W stop. I always make sure to get that. So what happened with A&W?
Yeah, man, they reached out and they wanted us to, it was actually Cara and I that they wanted us to partner up with them. And yeah, so we just kind of came to terms and agreed on it. And that was awesome to be a part of. You mentioned the root beer. That day, that picture, I already probably had pounded like 4 or 5. So feeling a little bit bloated. But in Canada, they're all over, man. A&Ws are everywhere. Everywhere, yeah. Everywhere you look, it's like having just a fast food restaurant at the corner street. Like, they're just everywhere and pretty popular. And that's actually the guy that apparently comes out on all the commercials.
Alan.
All the A&W commercial. Alan, yeah. And he actually lives in Culver City, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought he was Canadian. But yeah, he lives in Culver City. He was telling us all about it. I was like, yeah, man, you're down the street from us. And good dude, actually loves baseball and big like baseball fan. So we were like, those pictures that you see there, like, they weren't like fake, like, here, let's just, you know, take a picture for the hell of it. We were like actually talking baseball. Like, he knew a lot about guys, and we were sitting there just talking shop and snapped a few photos. We had to go to the Blue Jay game, watch him throw out the first pitch and all that good stuff. And it was fun. Like I said, it's a little different when you have to act like you're an influencer and stuff like that. You know me, man. It's not my type
personality.
Of gig,
but, that's not who you are.
But you know, again, it's a good way to make money, I guess. Yeah. That's how a lot of people make money nowadays. And a lot of people make a ton of money off of that. So yeah, Cara and I were really happy. And when you're able to when a company like that reaches out, I think it's cool. Yeah, and
that's real
and
cool.
That's why we did it. And yeah, I think it's going to open up more doors to do a lot of other stuff. I have some stuff that people have reached out, and
damn,
yeah, we'll see if we
look at you. You're all grown up now. I'm very proud. Very proud. Very proud. Now, if you could just somehow get a Pebble Beach invitation, we'll be all right. So
oof, maybe one day. That's you, man. That's you.
That's what we're working on. But yeah, so you were in Canada. You did a bunch of stuff. Let me get back to the MLB Network radio part. That's really cool. So you do it on Sundays. It's on Sirius XM. I was listening to you this Sunday. Where was I at? I was on Uber coming back home from Texas. I was working a fight, and I'm listening to the show. And Dani Wexelman is awesome. She is so good as a host. She's a big sports fan. She's very knowledgeable in New York, and you and her go back and forth. Excellent rapport with her. How is it doing regular radio for 3 hours where you're locked in talking baseball?
It's cool, man. I mean, it's definitely a big adjustment, right? You know, because you've done it before, you know what it's like to be just talking and talking and talking and talking. I think that's the not the biggest knock, but some of the stuff that they have to keep reminding me is to keep the same energy for 3 hours. It's not easy. But I've adjusted well, and it's just, you get to watch baseball. I had the TV on, and I'm watching the games, or we're watching them live. Sometimes we tune in through the network, and you're listening to it, and I'm watching it. And again, it's just another chance for you to be able to watch the game and talk baseball. And I've been on with Ryan Spielboards on his show, and it's called Loud Outs. And that one's really, really fun too. So it's just I think the Sunday show is more of a wrap of the week, right? I mean, everything that's gone on and happened, and we touched a little bit on the games that happened the night before, and it's definitely not easy to talk for 3 hours. People, when I say, yeah, the show's for 3 hours, they're like, what? How do you not run out of stuff to say? But believe it or not, it's crazy the amount of notes that go on and the stuff that they have that they want us to break down. And obviously, I'm a person that they have me there to talk about my experiences, to relate to these guys, because I can relate to these guys. Right. And when you're able to do stuff like that, I think it makes it easier. What I have found, Beto, and I'm sure you know this too, obviously, but it's like, it's 3 hours, but then you look at it like, okay, it's blocks of like 15 minutes, 16 minutes, and then you have like a 3 or 4 minute break. So you break that down. It's 3 blocks per hour, and that's like a total of 9 blocks in 3 hours, and it kind of goes by fast. And honestly, the chemistry I've been able to build with Dani has been awesome. She's awesome, and she makes it easier on me, right? I think early on I was trying to ask the perfect question, where now it's like, you know what, I'm gonna pretend we're doing a podcast and we're just interviewing this person, and I'm asking questions off the top of my head and what I find interesting, that I think the listeners will find interesting and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, it's all about chemistry, and I feel like Dani and I have it, or we continue to build it from show to show. And again, it's one of those things where
you guys have never met.
No, just like through this.
Yeah. So you're in one area, she's another part of the country, and you're going back and forth, and you're trying to do a show together. Do you guys do video? Can you see each other or no?
Yeah. Okay. We see each other.
Well, that's
we
good. See each that helps. Other.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those things where it's like you talk about team chemistry on a baseball field and pitcher catcher relationship. It's the same thing. And you know that, right? I mean, there's some guys, I'm sure there's been people that you don't mesh with, and you're like, damn, our personalities just don't mesh. It's not, it's not the same. And that's just crazy about the radio, about you and I have great chemistry because we've done this for like forever. I just feel like I'm just, again, on a just normal show right now. I do the Athletic podcast. We talk about the Blue Jays, and Drew Fair Service and I, like, it's just like we've developed this good combo where like we just bounce stuff off each other and we laugh, and it's not organic, as we call it, right? It's not like it's planned or like we're trying to be funny or anything like that. It's like, hey, like, let's just go off what we have. He's the guy that I go about numbers, even on social media when I need numbers. I'm like, come on, Drew, like, where are you? Give it to me now. Boom. He's got it ready. He's savvy with that baseball savant, baseball reference and all that stuff. I'm not good at it yet, but have you ever looked at that baseball savant page?
Man, let me tell you this. So I was in that weird area of reporters where there were bloggers weren't allowed in stadiums, right? In the early 2000s, mid 2000s. Then they came in. And then all of a sudden you started seeing these younger guys incorporating numbers into stories. And the old school writers were like talking about, what is war? Why are you using that? You know, this and that. BAPIP and all that other stuff. So it was slowly being integrated. And then once one of the younger guys showed me, like, I love Baseball Reference. That's great. But once they showed me like the different analytical sites, Rick, I was like mind blown. Like I did terrible in calculus, but I was only in there because I had to be. And I could not imagine what was going on in these guys' heads. And this is before it was cleaned up now. Like now a normal person can go and see these sites and you can figure things out. Back then, you had to like really, really try to maneuver around and try to find things out. And guys were just like looking for different things and a lot of stats that didn't exist. So they were making up their own stuff. And it was cool to listen to, but in my head, I'm like, these guys were in their 20s. I'm in my 30s. I'm like, I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. And I don't even know if this is going to stick. Obviously, it stuck. And then the guys that didn't adapt, they're no longer in the game as a writer or anything else. But it was just interesting to see that and like the way that they go after it. But Rick, if you're a hardcore baseball fan, and I know there's so many of them that love the analytics parts, it can get so intimidating. Like you're walking in, you're like, what is this? Like, so you're looking at these pages?
I look at them sometimes just to kind of see. I did when I was doing some of the games in Toronto. I just wanted to know what it was all about and how. But it pretty much breaks down every single pitch from like the way it breaks, how it breaks, the amount of inches it breaks, the amount of inches it rises, everything, dude. It's crazy. It's crazy the amount of numbers that we have out there. And So I took a look at it once or twice. I, I, I try not to sit there and spend my whole time on it. Yeah. Again, for me, it's watching the game and being able to dissect it like that. It's when I see stuff like, oh, Matt Chapman, the analytics don't like him defensively. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, the guy makes every single play at third base. This is why I can't get behind the numbers completely. But at the same time, I know they're there for a reason, too. And I know it helps certain guys, and they like looking at stuff like that. As we've talked about it before, Beto, some of these kids, that's all they know. And that's all they go based off of.
Crazy. Still,
at the end of the day, it's going out there and performing and being having quality at bats, getting outs. It's the name of the game, right? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't change. And I think sometimes we just get caught up on you know, if there's a home run, they're like, that had a launch angle of 20 degrees, and it's like, well, it was a home run. It was a home run. Like,
yeah. It was like a freaking,
he got jammed.
It was gone. That's what it was.
Or whether it barely like nicked the fence and went over, it's a home run. Yeah. Like, I don't care what the launch angle is. I don't care what the exit velocity was. Like, sometimes it's like, oh, that was the hardest hit ball by so and so, and it's like, it was an out. It was an out.
Boog Shiavi, Cubs White Sox broadcaster now. Wait, Boog is with the Cubs. Yeah, Boog Shiavi, great guy. I saw him during a couple weeks ago. I was at Dodger game. On the field, and talked to him briefly, and he was one of the first guys to incorporate advanced analytics into his broadcast, but blend it in. You know, he would say, "Oh, his WAR is blah blah blah," and he would explain it a little bit, but not go over the top with it. And I talked to him, and Boog said, "The day where our schedules can actually line up, he's like, I definitely want to come on." He was talking about you a little bit, how I guess he saw that you were going MLB Network, all that other stuff. So he's like, definitely want to come on. So we'll be having Boog Shiavi on probably in. Little end of the month, once everybody's schedules line up, because he's traveling with them. So that was pretty cool, but mentioning the analytics part. Anik Patel joining us right now. Finally, return to the podcast. Been supporting since your debut against Detroit, Ricky. Cool, Anik Patel. Appreciate you jumping on right now, watching us live on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to YouTube, all that other good stuff. All right, before we move on to other stuff, you were in Toronto. You played a golf tournament with some Toronto studs, man. Who was out there?
Who wasn't out there? Dude, it was, let me see. Hold on. Let me pull up the picture really quick, and I'll go through the list of the guys that were there. But it was an awesome tournament. Again, the Blue Jays always do a good job of getting the alumni together and being able to raise money for the Jays Care Foundation. But it was, here, I'm looking at it right now. It was Jose Cruz Jr., Juan Guzman, the great Juan Guzman that was a freaking stud back in the day. Cito Gaston, Tim Raines, Cecil Fielder, Ernie Witt, Dwayne Ward, Pat Border, Scott Richmond, our good friend Scott Richmond, Travis Snyder, Dustin McGowan, Lloyd Mosby, and the great, great Matt Stairs too. For the Dodger fans out there that are listening, Matt Stairs was there. He's awesome. He's a great person. He told me the whole story about that game and Jonathan Broxton and how it felt good to quiet down that stadium, and how after the season, I think they did a poll of like the most hated baseball players in MLB, and he was number two behind Barry Bonds. And I was like, that's awesome. He's like, dude, I loved it. And I was like, yes, I did my job. And he certainly did. And he's awesome, dude. He's a great dude. Like, just a guy that loves to talk baseball.
Let's get him on. Let's get him on.
We should. Yeah.
Maybe let's get him on during the Dodgers playoffs. Our group
but
chat.
Yeah, no, he was.
Hey, so let me go back the stairs, though. Like, he's not that big of a guy, right?
No, but he's like, he's stocky, yeah. Dude.
Okay, yeah. So I was working that series when he hit the home run, right? And
I was sitting in the pavilion when he hit it.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So my
seat. I was sitting in center field, I think.
All right, so my seat for the baseball playoffs at Dodger Stadium, auxiliary press box. So I'm in the reserve level. That's where my seat goes, behind home plate, reserve level. Rick, you were there too. But in the media section, you know, we don't cheer. We don't say anything. And it's usually an area where it's just us there. But towards the end of the game, there's not much around. So I was maybe one of like 10 people still left in that section because everybody goes downstairs to try to get a better spot to get into the clubhouse. Stairs hits that home run, and I look around, Rick, and everybody went from standing to just sit. You know how you see the wave at the stadium and everybody goes up? It felt like the wave had just passed you. Everybody went down. Like, whoa.
I've I've never heard a stadium so quiet like I did that night, especially Dodger Stadium. And dude, I mean, shoot. Yeah, that was a tough way to lose. And and obviously we know what the Phillies went and did that season. But yeah man, I mean, again, it was a cool tournament. Stairs
has good personality.
Who?
Matt Stairs, good personality.
Yeah, he's awesome. Awesome. Like, just great. And you know what the cool thing is too, man? Like, from like Cito Gaston and guys like that, even Pat Borders, who's a freaking Toronto legend, Matt Stairs, and all those guys are like, dude, keep doing what you're doing on TV. We love listening to your insights, and you do a great job. And I was like, damn, here I am being hard on myself because I feel like sometimes I fuck up. Yeah. And these guys are listening in, and they know ball. I even got a nice message from Jose Bautista, and he was like, dude, keep it up, man. Like, you know, again, your experiences go a lot further than you think they do. And you know what you're talking about. And, you know, sometimes with TV, it requires like you have to be a little bit critical and stuff like that. But I like to, the way I say it, Beto, is I like to educate more than like sit there and bash a guy. You get nothing out of bashing a guy. Like, what's the point of that? Like, I'd rather educate. Hey, this is what happened. This is what I think happened. This is what happened when I was playing. And this is the stuff that I dealt with. And I kind of apply it to whatever it is, the situation that's going on in front of me, or say, hey, sometimes, yeah, you just have those bad games. And these guys are not robots. Like, I have to remind people of that. Like, these guys are not robots. Like, it's bound to happen. Like, it's just what it is. Like, we all want to succeed. Nobody wants to go out there and stink it up. Like, you have, but at the same time, you have to be able to dissect the game in the sense that, like, hey, like, yeah, he could have done this better. And if you ask him, if you go in that clubhouse and ask him, like, what could you have done better? He's going to tell you that, you know? Yeah. And I'm just watching. I'm sure some of our listeners haven't. I don't know. Have you caught up on the captain?
No, I'm saving it.
Okay.
Well, but you were telling me about it. I've heard different stories back and forth about it. And it's one of those where you want to watch it, but I'm one of those guys where as soon as
you want to binge,
I want to binge it, man. I just want to get more and more and more. So I'm waiting for
it. Well, the thing is, like, the question I've gotten asked, they're like, is it worth it? Because it's Derek Jeter. And I'm like, why is there so much hate around this guy? I was like, if you don't like listening to a winner talk, then don't watch it. Like, I don't, like, he reminds me, like, I finally caught up to episode 6 last night, and just watching him, it's like I'm listening to Kobe Bryant talk. Like, it really is, the mentality. And there's a reason why it separates him from, he might not have been, he says it, I wasn't like the most, I wasn't A-Rod, you know, when A-Rod was young. I wasn't putting up those kind of numbers, but I won, and I knew how to win. And I knew how to be clutch. And I'm like, that's all you could ever. And he played for the biggest fucking market in baseball. And he never, the way, like, he has a whole episode about the media and how he handled it and how he did it on purpose and how it was all by design.
Yep.
Like, I wasn't going to give them anything.
Yep.
Because it would take away from the distraction of the team. For me, it was the team win. And that's it.
Yeah.
Nobody was going to go into my personal life. Nobody, if you asked me about my personal life, I was not going to give you anything. And on the field, it was questions about, like, the game. Don't ask me about A-Rod. Like, go ask him. Like, there's so many, like, clips where he's like, go ask him. It's not my problem. Go ask him.
Yep.
Go ask
him. The thing with the knock on the Jeter, the captain, is that he's one of the producers. So, obviously, he has editorial control about it. So did Jordan with his, you know, with The Last Dance. But the thing about Jeter is he's so scripted and tells you exactly what he wants. So people are like, I'm not going to learn anything about him. But the little clips that I've seen of this, you learn about that inside engine that we knew he had, but didn't know he had. Like, I didn't know he was that vicious, cutthroat, step on your throat, knock you
out. Oh, dude.
He's a winner. He's a winner.
Like, last night when I went to sleep, I'm like, God, Lee Cara, I wish I had known more about him when I was playing, because I would have taken some of that. Like, I had some of those qualities, but you're right. It's one of those. It's like Kobe Bryant. Like, he wasn't like, it was like they'd win a title and he was like, okay, what's next?
Yep.
I got to get ready for my next one. and I got to get ready. What's next? I'm ready for my next title.
Yeah.
It was like, he says it. He's like, I wish I would have enjoyed more and stayed in the moment more, but I was always so caught up on my next title.
Yeah.
My next title. And I'm like, wow, like that's crazy, man. And again, I know people knock on him for this, for that, but if you have an open mind about it, and again, yeah, he's a producer on it, so obviously it's going to look a lot better, but they interview other people and he's watching those interviews and he's like, at times, like, who the fuck is he to say that about me? Like talking about writers, you know, and one of the things that I was so like, just in love with was like, tell me I can't do it and I'm going to prove you wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's what he took mental notes of. Like, tell me I can't do that. And then just his feuds with Brian Cashman, how he can't, he's like, to this day, I don't fuck him. Like, you know, and he goes into detail about the contract details and what happened when they didn't want to re-sign him. All that, dude, I love stuff like that. Again, it's one of those things where he's a champion. He's a winner. And one of the funniest things, Beto, was you'd appreciate this. They're like, he's like, when I hate it when athletes go like, yeah, I'm playing at 80%. And he's like, fuck that. It's either I'm playing or I'm not playing. What's 80%? Like, go out there and play. Like, what's 80%? Like, no, it's either you're playing or you're not playing. Damn. And it's true. It's true.
I just had that conversation with my son, Mateo. You know, he played in his last AAU tournament was in Vegas a couple weeks ago. And we're out there. And mind you, it's 100 degrees. The gyms are hot. And they're playing up against some of the best competition in the country. And he got banged up a little bit. He's a 150. He got thrown down. He gets up and his hip is a little this. So after the game, he says something. And I was like, so you want to just pack up and go home? And he's like, no, why? I'm like, I don't want to hear it. When you get on the court, everybody's healthy. Everybody's the same age. I don't care if you're 19. I don't want to hear it. You're on the court. You're ready to play. Suck it up. Nobody wants to hear anything. And I've been telling him that since he was 10 years old. But that's the attitude because I heard it from a Kobe say it one time. Like, oh, how's your back? Mm-hmm. He goes on the court. Everybody's back hurts. Everybody hurts. Everybody's fine. Let's go. Like, it doesn't matter. Nobody wants to hear that excuse. So if you can't play, then don't play. But once you get on the court, don't make an excuse.
Dude, it's so true, and it's one of those things where people.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Don't know that, right? You don't know that from an athlete, but everyone is banged up. Everyone. You can't tell me in baseball those 9 guys are like 100% feeling healthy. But yeah, of course. Like, you're playing, you're gonna go balls to the wall. It's like, here we go. I'm in it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no excuses. And again, I'm going a lot into detail about it.
The Jeter. But, okay. Did you have any interactions with Jeter besides facing him?
I did. Just a bit. I was telling Carl, my wife, last night. I was like, I just wish I would have had one night out with him. I just wish I could have seen what it was like to be in those shoes. But again, he's like very private. Like, he's one thing I wish I could take back was probably hang out with my teammates a little bit more. But he was always so overly cautious because he's like, I didn't know what guys wanted from me. I didn't know if, like, so he had to be a little bit guarded. Yeah. And they interviewed Jordan and he's like, yeah, man, I feel like I can be myself around Derek Jeter, and Derek Jeter feels like he can be himself around me. And I'm like, wow, like, you're at that, that, like, that's another
level. You're here, status, you're right? Here, and then you're here.
And that's them, yeah.
Well, like, but Laker players will say how, like, I don't even know where Kobe lives. He's never invited us to his house. We're not hanging out with him because there's different – like, Kobe's not going to the club with you. I've always told the story, like, the one night, 2009, we're at the NBA Finals in Orlando, and I'm hanging out at the team hotel with my friends that work for the team, and we're at a golf resort, which is – on purpose, they stayed at a golf resort away from the hotels in downtown. And the Kobe story goes that he comes back and he went out to a club – but it was a club where everybody knew that the Laker players were going to be at. So it was kind of a smaller lounge kind of thing.
Yeah.
He went in a hoodie, kept the hoodie on. Nobody knew he was there. He went through the back door, sat there for maybe half an hour. And I wasn't there, but he And he told me that he went there. Then he comes back. I'm at the hotel sitting down in the lobby. And he just walks up. And he and his security personnel, like, I knew him enough then to, like, be in that area. Sits down. And they have a bucket of beers. And they hand out beers to, like, the staff that's just hanging out there. He sits with us for about 15 minutes. Didn't say a word. Not one word did he say. But he's laughing at all the stories and the jokes that everybody's saying. You know, and this is, like, none of the players are with us. It's just me, Kobe, and some of the, my friends who were members of the staff. And we're like, he sat down, and we're like, you know when you're, like, telling a story in the middle, and all of a sudden you're like, let me kind of change my story and, like, attitude, whatever. And
yeah.
And you kind of get a little, you went from, like, hey, to, like, this, to, like, sitting up straight. Then we just started BSing around, telling the story, and he's, like, laughing. He's like, all right, fellas, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And went to his room. Like, damn, like, we all kind of thought about, like, this guy can't be normal. Like, he can't just sit in the lobby and BS and have a bucket of beers. And he wasn't drinking because it was finals, but just that little moment of, damn, you see that. Like, he can't be a normal guy. Same thing with Jeter. Jeter can't go in New York, because if he does, the paparazzi is going to be there waiting for him. And I'm pretty sure even when Jeter went out, he probably had it calculated to, hey, tonight I'm going to be at this space. Here's your picture. Here's your opportunity. Be on page six. And then I'm leaving after 20 minutes probably. Like, it's just something along those lines.
Yeah. Again, I mean, if you guys, it's almost like you have to have an open mind. I know there's a lot of Derek Jeter haters out there, but my interactions with him, Beto, were always on the field. I never really off the field, never. But, like, I remember one time I asked him to take a picture with my sister, Sandy. He came over graciously and, you know, no questions asked, of course, man. And he, like, took a picture with her, and that was that.
That's cool.
Always, you know, always tipped his hat and always said hello when we were stretching. He'd always make sure he, you know, just would say hi. And that was just him. I mean, that's the only interactions I ever had with him. And again, I always admire him, and I always will, just playing against him and being who he was. Again, once again, he was the face of the New York Yankees, him being a rookie, winning the World Series right off the back, and that dynasty they were able to create. I mean, the dude should have probably, he won five titles. He probably should have won like seven or eight.
Yeah.
I mean, they blew a lead to the Red Sox 3-0 to go to the World Series. And then they lost to the Diamondbacks on when the September 11th stuff happened. So he talks about it all. Again, if you're a baseball fan, and I mean, you don't have to be a Jeter fan, but I think it would change your perspective on him a little bit.
And it's also, like, I didn't want to say, like, if Jeter played in Kansas City, would you be Derek Jeter? No. Like, you know, like a lot of guys, if you play in different markets, it happens to be in the market you play at. But at the same time,
it's the way he did it. The way he did it and how he handled it was crazy.
A lot of guys, if you put that guy in New York, what are they going to do? They're going to fall apart.
I mean, we've seen it. We've seen a lot of athletes, a lot of Randy Johnson, Kevin Brown, a lot of guys that went out there with a lot of hype and this and that. And holy shit, he goes into a little bit of a glimpse of, like, the cameras that go in there. Holy smokes, though. He's like, yeah, you're talking beat writers, you're talking camera dudes, you're talking daily news, you're talking
30
like
national news. Travel with the Yankees. When they would come to Anaheim, this is the first year. I mean, I always went into the visiting locker room. I mean, that's how I met you. You know, I always go in there and see what's going on. And in Anaheim, nobody goes. Yankees come to town, everybody's there. So when the Yankees would come to town in Anaheim, easily 50 people, media members with LA and New York covered. And then you would get the national guys to come through. And the first year that A-Rod showed up, Jeter's locker was maybe five away from A-Rod. And A-Rod would go first, then Jeter. And you could just feel the difference, Rick, that when A-Rod was talking, New York writers are a bunch of jerks. The majority of them, right? Because they got that cynical old school writer. And like A-Rod would say something, and you see guys rolling their eyes at him. Like just some of his answers. Jeter says the same exact thing. Okay, we'll take it. Because he earned that ability to be that way, to say whatever it was. So you could just sense that A-Rod just wanted to be loved, but it wasn't genuine. Whereas Jeter was so guarded, you didn't know if that was genuine. You're like, why? And then you start realizing, like, this dude can't go 2 feet without everybody grabbing at him. From the moment Jeter would walk out of the dugout in Anaheim, boom, you would hear behind the dugout the noise explosion for the dude to warm up. You know, it was just, you know, A-Rod would have all the women checking him out, and then the guys hating him. And Jeter would have all the women and the guys loving him. Like, that's – it was fascinating to watch the few times they would come to town.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there was a difference. I mean, I've never really been a A-Rod fan, and there's no knock on him or anything, but
that's just a lot of people.
I never was. But I never was.
But A-Rod would be a perfect heel in the WWE.
I have my reasons why, and it's just like, it was a completely different type of personality there.
Yeah, fascinating. Talking about
cares or anything, but I'm just saying, yeah, for me personally.
How did Jeter do against you?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know the numbers?
Like 230 or 240 hit off me.
Okay, not bad, not bad. A-Rod?
I own the ass. Hey, is that the Green Knight yes, Bandit?
The Green Knight Bandit is alive.
I saw that. Wow, that guy just disappeared. Like,
yeah.
What happened?
He disappeared, but Master played in Mexico too. All right, the Green Knight Bandit, glad to have you back, Caesar. We miss you. See, we took a break, so he took a break too. So there it is. Rick, let's wrap up on this. The late, great Vince Scully. Passed away. 67 years with the Dodgers. I mean, icon, everybody loved him. Like, no, if anybody says anything bad about Vince Scully, you're a bad person. Like, nobody could ever say anything bad about him. You never played at Dodger Stadium, but
you
as a former major leaguer, Vin was the voice that everybody knew, right?
Hell yeah, man. There's nobody like him in my eyes. Nobody like him. And I'm glad I grew up on him. Obviously, yes, we want to I wish I would have had a game called by him, but it didn't happen. And again, I still have the memories of him calling games when I was younger. Remember when the games used to be, I believe, on Channel 13, Beto, growing up?
Channel 11.
And 11?
And also
but Channel 13 5. Too, right?
13 too for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, so I just – Channel 5, yeah, a lot. And just listening to him pregame and now being in the business of it and – obviously, I've never done a game. I've never done a game on the radio or on TV. But the fact that he did it by himself is freaking crazy, man. And how many stories and how he let big moments just kind of breathe and how he just let everything just kind of silence was golden for him at times. And it's crazy, man. It's cool. Again, what a voice and what a loss for baseball, right? I mean, but the dude did it all, and he did it, at a top level. And I don't think there will be anybody like him. And again, just really cool that we grew up on that voice, and we had the chance to, you know, from him, you go from him to Chick Hearn, and just like you look at what the Los Angeles have had as a TV guys, and it's voices, I mean, and it's legends, you know?
Yeah, the night he passed away, we were I work at ESPN Radio here in LA as one of the backup hosts, and we were at a staff dinner where new bosses were telling us what's going on. Excuse me. And John Ireland says it, and he's like, hey, Vin Scully just passed away. So we went on the air for almost 2 hours. It was myself, Travis Rogers, and John Ireland, and yeah, we were just telling stories, and I was in there for like maybe 20 minutes and ended up staying the entire 2 hours. And one thing I said was, Vince Scully taught a generation of kids geography. Because, think about Rick, we all know where San Pedro de Macorís is, right? We know where San Juan, Puerto Rico, we know Venezuela, we know Curacao, because he would always drop in I said this on the air, he'd always drop in little nuggets about the Latino baseball player that wasn't forced. It wasn't patronizing. It was an homage to them. And whenever he would say a city in Mexico where the player is from, you know, I think one time I heard him say Tuxpan and like, wait, or he would say Veracruz, or he would tell the story about Vinny Castilla and he would call him Vinicio Castilla, you know, like say the real name, you know, something like that. And that was always cool to me to hear that. That's why I'm not saying I'm a good broadcaster, but I always try to give the nuggets because that's what Vin would do, Chick would do. They would kind of give you the background of who these players were and where they're coming from and add a respect to them. And, you know, our good friend Cesar Ramos, who pitched for the Phillies and pitched for Tampa, pitched for the Angels. I remember having a conversation with him one time, and he's with Tampa, And Vin Scully said, oh, the kid from Pico Rivera El Rancho High School, you know, like that. And Caesar's like, damn, Vince said my name like that, you know, like,
yeah,
to hear those little nuggets. That was always cool. And, you know, all the things that he did, of course, for you, Ricky, the 49ers, he called the catch with Dwight Clark before you were born. But still, though, you'll take that. He announced so many great games, and it's a big loss for the city of Los Angeles. And, you know, they had the private funeral yesterday, Monday. We played in the Jaime Jarrin golf tournament for his foundation yesterday.
Another legend.
Oh, my God. He asked about you. He said, ¿Dónde estás? I saw him afterwards. Jaime had his own charity golf tournament yesterday, but Vin's funeral, the private one for the family, was there, and Jaime went to that, so he was unable to be at his tournament. But he came back later for the dinner, and I talked to him. So the Ricky Romero Foundation, along with the Jaime Jarrin Foundation, we're going to get together and help out the next generation of broadcasters going to college. So that's part of what we talked about yesterday. But te manda saludos, and he's like, anything you guys need. So he said if he's in town, he'll probably come help us out in Thanksgiving for our camp.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, that'd be great if he can come and talk. And it stinks that I couldn't stay, but having three kids come.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I literally came home after that tournament straight into the pool. If you want to go in the pool, they had just gotten back from school. And daddy, pool, let's go in the pool. Go in the pool. And we're there for like hour and a half.
Yeah, I wish you had stayed, Rick. It took a while to get the dinner because they had a cocktail hour, but... Yeah. At the table next to me, I grabbed a table, and it was myself, Bernardo Osuna from ESPN, a good buddy. Jose Mota sits down next to me. Mota, right away. Yeah, Ricky Rowe, on the side, Ricky. I'm like, oh, here it is. First thing he says, Fullerton, baby. I'm like, oh, yo, Fullerton.
That's right.
You guys stay together. And then at the table next to us was Jaime, Mike Socha, Oral Hershiser, Tim Leary, Sean Green, Nomar were right there at that table. So it was a pretty cool event. And thank you to the Jaime Jarrin Foundation's grandson, Stefan, for inviting us to that tournament. So we had a lot of fun. So we're back in the mix. We're here, ready to go. Make sure you guys
The best part was at the turn, man, they had taconazo. Oh. I mean, fish tacos. They had micheladas, dude. Yeah. That's how you do it right there, man. That's next really nice golf club and everything.
Taconazo, micheladas, all you need. We're going to have a cigar. We're planning things for the next for our first ever tournament. Make sure you guys listen to Ricky on Sundays, Sirius XM, MLB Network Radio. That's on Sundays. What time?
We're off this Sunday. I think they have a few games that are, they have games of the week. So we're off this Sunday, but I think we're back next week, or maybe I think next week is off too. So yeah, it's just, I think with the races kind of coming down to the wire, I think they want to have those games on the radio and people have listened to those. I'll check the schedule.
So just follow Ricky's social media. He's on there Sunday mornings. Make sure you follow the Twitter account for Ricky. Also, he filled in during the week. So we'll be back. We're back in the mix. Kids are back to school. We're back to semi-normal. So we'll continue to break down everything you need to know about what's going on. Tolly has a real job. So we don't know if Tolly's going to be hanging out with us as much. We'd love to have him. I'm not going to delete him off the stickers yet, but we still get going. So we'll have different guests filling in with us. And then maybe next week we'll get down into breaking down the Padres, how all the Dodgers fans, all they ever do is talk about the Padres. 17 game lead, and all they ever do is talk about the Padres. Come on. Like, you sweep, but you're supposed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. The Dodgers should get everyone, according to Dodger fans. They should trade. Juan Soto should have came here. And if he doesn't come here, they still whine about it. I'm like, you guys are 16 games ahead of them. Like, why do you guys care so much? But whatever.
It'd be a lot of fun.
It's becoming something that again, every Dodger fan should be happy. I mean, they've waited for moments like this for a long time, and they've been at the top for a long time. So obviously, you expect big things. And if they don't win the World Series, I don't want to hear you guys crying.
We'll make sure they get there first, though. All right. It's been good. Great to see you, Ricky. Glad to catch up with you. First time since June. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. And let somebody know you've been watching the Let's Go Ricky Rowe podcast. We'll be back next week. Adios.